The following program's views, claims, and or representations may not necessarily reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock here this afternoon, right here on AM 1220, The Word. And I was beginning to think I wasn't going to make it in here this morning. I was heading up the highway, or this afternoon, I was heading up the highway, and they had it shut down. Some truck lost its load between the Turnpike and Miller Road on 77 northbound, and I think I spent 15, 20 minutes just waiting to get off the highway so that I could get around that. And I said, when I came in, it's a good thing I always try to leave early, or I wouldn't be here. I just literally walked into the radio studio here, I think 5 minutes ago, just enough time to get in and get my stuff unpacked and to sit down. I don't even think I've hardly caught my breath yet. So bear with me, and also bear with my voice. Pray for my voice. That just whatever this is going around, I just haven't been able to shake it, and just keeps giving me a little bit of a raspy voice and a little bit of a cough on occasion. But pray for me. We'll get through the program, and let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air here this afternoon. We just pray that something that we talk about would be useful to pointing people to Christ and helping to give a reason for the hope that's in us, Lord, and make sense of the Word of God. Father, bless, use the program to for your glory today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, I'd love to hear from you today. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here. And actually, if you call, that'll you could listen to another voice other than mine for a few minutes, I think. But the phone lines are open, 888-677-9673. In the meanwhile, want to touch on... Excuse me here. I wanted to touch on a couple things that we were talking about last week. We were talking about the fact that it is reasonable to believe the Bible. It's reasonable to believe God's Word. And I've seen so many things, and perhaps you have too, where people try to claim that if you're a Bible-believing Christian, you're uneducated, you're illogical, you're ignorant, you're, you know, you fill in the blank there, but they marginalize you the moment that you mention the fact that you believe the Bible. And I've seen that a couple different things that I've read and looked at and even posted online a couple times and some things. And the moment you bring up the Bible position, there are people, not everybody, but there are people out there who immediately marginalize and decide that everything you said is no longer valid because you believe the Bible. And, you know, I contend that the Bible is a sensible book. It's a book, it's a logical book, and it's a book that you can reason from. And in fact, Isaiah chapter 41, and I wanted to turn over there, and I'm still getting my things here together, but in Isaiah chapter 41, and let me turn over to what God said to the prophet Isaiah, starting in about verse number 18. He said, "I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar and the shittah tree and the myrtle and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together." Now, we talked about a little bit of this last week, and I want to use this again for jumping off point today. But then he says, after mentioning these things that he had done, he said that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. What he's saying here is that the things that God has done, the things that he has created, the things that the wonders of nature and the magnificence of nature that we see, these are things that show that there's a creator. These are things that open our eyes and that should give us reason to believe that there's an intelligence behind everything that we see. Read an article, and in my hurry to get in here in the studio, I haven't quite found the paper yet, but read an article this past week where around the Andromeda galaxy, astronomers have found a ring of dwarf galaxies. And without getting into all the particular details there, they're all lined up, you know, kind of like the planets are in the solar system, orbiting around the sun. Well, these dwarf galaxies are orbiting around the Andromeda galaxy, and astronomers are quite at a loss to explain it. There's nothing in the Big Bang theory that they can use that quite explains how these things should be there, and much less all orbiting in a nice regulated pattern around the Andromeda galaxy. And they're really trying to figure this out, scratching their heads. Well, it's very simple. Psalm 19, starting in verse 1, the Bible says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter his speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race, his going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof." Now, let me look at this a minute here, and looking at what I read there in Isaiah chapter 41, the things that we see make it reasonable to believe there's a creator. And that's what the psalmist, that's what David's saying here in the psalm. The heavens declare the glory of God. So there's no place that you can go, that you can look up at the sky in the daytime or at the night and not see evidence of God's handiwork. And then, of course, the picture of the sun as a bridegroom running a race. The sun is orbiting around the center of the Milky Way galaxy at about 13 miles a second. Other stars near us are some orbiting about the same speed, some a little faster, some a little slower. And so certainly like a strong man running a race. And all of this points to a creator. And then back in Isaiah chapter 41, God says to those that reject him and go after other idols and things of that nature, in verse 21, he says, "Produce your cause, saith the Lord, and bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. Let them bring forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things that they may, or they, what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare us things to come. Show us the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are gods. Yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed, and behold it together." And he says this, "Behold, ye are nothing, and your work of naught, an abomination is he that chooseth you." And he's saying they cannot bring forth any reason for what they believe. And that's why the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And when you hear an atheist say, "Well, I know God doesn't exist," how does he know that? He's arrived at that conclusion for a variety of reasons. But I've arrived at the conclusion God exists for a variety of reasons as well. And what he's saying when he tells you that he knows God doesn't exist is he's saying he has a faith in the fact that God doesn't exist, just as I have a faith in the fact that God does exist. Well, we'll talk about this some more, but you're listening live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673, and we have a caller And it looks like Madeline, I think. And are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Pastor Al.
Hi, welcome.
I don't have the scripture in front of me right now, but there is one referring to women being saved by childbirth.
Oh, I think I know what you mean. Let me take a look here. And I if I'm thinking correctly, it's in 1st or 2nd Timothy. Let me just flip back here. And it's talking about physical, the life being saved. Let me see. Oops, just went past it, I think. Let me back up here. And, right, here it is, 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15, talking about the woman. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. And the reason for that statement is that up until relatively recently, many women died in childbirth. It's a part of the curse, the pain in childbirth, and we can see that back in Genesis chapter 3. But there's the danger in childbirth. Many women throughout history have died, giving birth. I'm thinking of, I believe it was when Samuel was being raised by, and it slips my mind, the high priest there, the prophet at the time when Samuel was young, but his daughter-in-law died in childbirth, and she named her son Ichabod because the glory of the Lord had departed. And that's back in, I think, 1st or 2nd Samuel.
Okay.
But this idea here, childbirth is a dangerous thing. And, today our incidences of women dying in childbirth is much less because of medical technology. But it was something to be concerned about. And here was an assurance that even though part of the curse was pain in childbirth in Genesis chapter 3, that God could, have his hand upon the woman during childbirth and save her life. This is physical salvation, physical life, if they continue faith and charity with holiness and sobriety. So if a woman is a godly woman trying to serve God, she can look to God to preserve her during childbirth. And, of course, sometimes there were godly women who did die during childbirth, and we don't always understand everything God is doing. But that would be the main idea here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15.
Well, thank you very much.
Oh, well, thank you for calling. I appreciate that. And
right.
Thank you for listening. All right, God bless. And, of course, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. If you would like to get on the air here today with a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, please excuse my voice today. Whatever this stuff is, it's going around. It's settled in my throat, and I've just been having struggles with my voice for about the past week and a half, 2 weeks, and ever since I had a head cold at Christmas time, I think. So pray for me and bear with me, and you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. We're brought to you, of course, by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm pastor, but also by Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. Frank's Antiques is located at 6668 Royalton Road, in the center of North Royalton. That's Route 82. And Frank's Antiques is open Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday, noon until 5:30 p.m. And you can contact Frank at Frank's Antiques in North Royalton by calling 440-237-4393 and let him know you heard about him right here on Live with Pastor Al. Well, we've been talking about the reasoning from the Scriptures. And we've got a caller coming in, I believe we'll get to in just a moment, but we need to remember there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. I was reading about a missionary who arrived in Japan, and they were trying to reach people with the gospel, and they had a Buddhist that pointed out Mount Fuji and said, look, there's Mount Fuji. There's many roads, but they all lead to Mount Fuji. And they were trying to say that there's many roads, and they all lead here or there. And they all lead to whatever the afterlife is supposed to be. And, you know, some of them might be Buddhism, some of them might be Christianity, some might be Confucianism, Taoism, Islam, whatever it is. But that's just not possible because, you know, John chapter 14, verse number 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And that's an absolute statement. Either it's true or it's not true. And I think we lost our caller there. But 888-677-9673 if you need to give a call in. But a lot of times people will say, well, every belief is valid. You cannot criticize anybody's belief. Well, you can disprove that pretty quickly. The moment you say, "I don't believe that, I think that's not logical, that's not reasonable," they'll get upset with you and say, "Well, no, you can't say I'm wrong." Well, they're telling you that you're wrong, and they just said that they don't believe your belief is valid, and they don't believe that you should be allowed to criticize their belief, even though they claim that every belief is valid and no one should criticize anyone's belief. But when Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," in John 14, 6, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me," as I said, he made an absolute statement, and it's an either or. Either that's a truism or it's not. And if you could get to the Father, if you could get to heaven by, say, the path of Islam, for instance, then Jesus is wrong. And that statement would be incorrect. It makes Jesus a liar. See, it's, again, the statement, "There are no absolutes." That's an absolute statement, which contradicts itself. If that statement is true, then there can't be an absolute, and the statement can't be true. If the statement isn't true, then, oh, excuse me. I'm sorry, I got this cough going on still, but any rate, we can get back in here. We've got Sean calling in, and we'll take Sean next. And Sean, you're on Live with Pastor Al.
Yeah, hi, Pastor Al. The reason I was calling is I've been reading through 1 John a couple times, mm-hmm. and I always get to the passage where he says, "Old men, I am writing unto you for this reason. Young men, I'm writing unto you for this reason." Mm-hmm. And then he goes on and he changes the tense and says that, "I have written unto you for this reason." And it's always been confusing to me what the purpose of that passage is. It's always kind of held me up when I get to that part.
All right. Yeah, and 1 John has got some things that a little bit curious in it that you have to really give some thought to on occasion. Some things that are very clear as well. But I'm looking for that passage here real quick. 1 John chapter... Let's see, it's not chapter 3 here. I was thinking chapter 3, that's where it says, "Little children, let no man deceive you," but that's not it. Let's see, I hope we can find that here real quick here, because it makes it a lot easier to find the actual statement there. But let me see if I can find it here.
I think it's either chapter 1 or chapter 2. I don't have it right in front of me at the moment.
Okay. Yeah, I know it's not, I believe it's chapter 1 here, and let me try chapter 2. All right, chapter 2, I think you're right. He says in chapter 2, starting in verse number 12, "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father." Now that's verse 13. All of that is, this is what I'm doing. I write unto you. And he addresses, you know, the different ones like you point out. Then in verse number 14, he says, "I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you've overcome the wicked one." And, you know, John is writing here in this little epistle in 1 John, and, you know, he's writing actively to them, but he had written previously, and he had communicated previously with them. And so in verse number 13, or actually 12 and 13, "I write unto you, little children, I write unto you, fathers, I write unto you, young men and all this, he's giving them instructions. And then in verse 14, he's reminding them of why he's writing and why he has written. And for instance, let's take the fathers there. Let me compare real quick. In verse 13, I write unto you fathers, because you've known him that is from the beginning. I'm not saying because you've known God. And then he says again in verse 14, I have written unto you fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. He references that. That's my message now. That's what I've been saying.
So he's commenting on a time that he previously wrote to them. He's not just simply referring to the few verses right beforehand.
I'm just taking a quick look at this, and I'm thinking that part of it is like you've said, but I think also it might be a literary style here to reinforce his points. You know, I am writing to you, I have written to you, and he's trying to reinforce his point there, underscore what he's saying, emphasizing it. You know, I am writing to you this, I have written to you this, and I think it's whether or not it was written before, you know, he's referring to something he wrote before. I think it's mostly, it's a reinforcement of what he's saying, and sort of a literary style, you know, just to reinforce his points. You know, fathers, you've known him that's from the beginning. Young men, in verse 13, you've overcome the wicked one. In verse 14, you're strong and the word of God abideth in you, and you've overcome the wicked one. And that reminds them that it wasn't because of their strength alone they overcome the wicked one. It was because the word of God abides in them. And they become overcomers. In fact, you can go over to 1 John chapter 4. Yeah, I'm sorry, chapter 5 and verse 4, where it says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Verse 5, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. And so we're overcomers when we, you know, the Word of God abides in us. We believe the message of the Word of God. And so I think it's emphasizing what's been said and driving home the point. Hopefully that helps out a little bit.
That does. I really appreciate your input on that. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much for calling. I appreciate that. And you're listening to Live with Pastor Al. And we've got just a couple minutes to go yet on the program. And we had a caller that called in with a question about the Gospel of John, chapter 20. And let me turn back there real quick, see if I can find out what we've got going on there. Gospel of John, chapter 20. And let's see here. Verse number 23. Excuse me. John chapter 20, verse number 23. It says, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now I'm going to keep reading that's verse 22. And now I'm going to read into verse 23, because it's all one sentence. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. And this question comes up periodically, and I don't know that we're going to get quite through all of it here before we run out of time, but the key is to remember Jesus is commissioning the disciples, and he breathes on them and tells them to receive the Holy Ghost, and he's giving them their marching orders as a part of this. He's empowering them. In order to serve God, we need to be empowered by the Holy Ghost. That's why you don't want to separate verse 23 from verse 22. It's all one sentence. And what we do in the power of the Holy Ghost is we preach the gospel. And we have the ability to see people have their sins forgiven by preaching the gospel message to them. And if we do not preach the gospel to them, if we refuse to, those sins are going to be retained if we refuse. Because see, it's our responsibility. And you can see that echoed again in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon them and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and went forth preaching the gospel. We're out of time. Join us next week. Good night and God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at live.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220 The Word. The following program has been sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program's views, claims, and/or representations may not have necessarily reflected those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.